Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Hear God's word as I read. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." He said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the word of the Lord." Christmas season this year, as you know, is a time when most of our schedules are all changed around. We make room for Christmas parties or concerts or this new Star Wars movie, as the case may be. Our moods change. They change from being joyful when we get a call from children or grandchildren or friends from afar, to that of being melancholy or sad with every longing memory of loved ones who are no longer here to celebrate with us. Our attitudes change. They may change from panic and anxiety of figuring out what gifts to buy for whom and also stay within our budget, to the joy and elation that the child within each of us feels as we take in the beauty of the lights of Christmas on a quiet night, and as we listen to cantatas and Christmas carols. And then, as quickly as it comes, it's over. There's the mess to clean up. And for some, a post-Christmas depression sets in. W.H. Auden has written a piece that expresses the trying time and swaying moods of a passing Christmas. Hear his words. "Now we must dismantle the tree, putting up decorations back into their cardboard boxes and carrying them up into the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burned. The children eventually must return to school. There are enough leftovers to be warmed up for the rest of the week, if not the month. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot and stayed up so late. We attempted again this year to love all our relatives and, in general, grossly overestimated our powers." While some of us, like Auden, are depressed when all is said and done, there are others with active families and lots of Christmas responsibilities who, if they were to be completely honest with you, and you may be among some of these, would say that it's a relief that it's all over. Past, gone, finished, another year away. Some of you may fit into this category. If you do, it's not necessarily because you're a Grinch or a Scrooge. It's because your Christmas stress level has been totally maxed out. For some of us, the joy and peace of Christmas can only be felt in its passing, in looking backward for Christmas. I usually fall somewhere in the middle of these. While I relish and truly enjoy the festivities. I'm relieved when it's all past and done. Bomb threats notwithstanding, it's usually hard for me to live in and enjoy the present when there are so many activities and so many events going on. And my Christmas cards are a case in point. For the 2 weeks prior to December 25th, I opened the mail with one objective in mind, and that is to set aside all these beautiful Christmas cards that have arrived, carefully tear off the return address so I can update my computer database, briefly read the card, maybe, and toss it along with all of these long family letters that come in the cards into a little wicker basket. It's not until after Christmas that I actually take that wicker basket and begin to reread the cards and enjoy them and absorb the letters. That's what I do in the days following Christmas. I read cards and I study the letters. I look backward for Christmas, and here's what I usually find in those cards. There are people in Dickinsonian or Corian and Ives dress, mangers, angels and wise men, stained glass windows, antique lettering, families riding on sleighs, and computer-generated Christmas letters detailing every lost tooth, crisis, vacation, trip, and triumph of friends and family's events over the past 12 months. And there's one thing that all of these cards and letters have in common. They, too, look backward into the past for Christmas. Not a one has a contemporary scene. There are no families in them wearing Air Apostle or Abercrombie and Fitch shirts. No families riding through the snow on snowmobiles. No scenes of split-level homes in suburban neighborhoods with a boat and a Ford F-150 extended cab parked in the driveway. And no kids flying drones or riding on hoverboards or skateboards. No, they all look backward, every last one of them. It would seem like our Christmas cards do the same thing that we do this time of year. And we even mark our own years by looking backwards at Christmas. It's this time of year that we remember those Christmases past from our childhood, the traditions, the rituals that we have celebrated over the years in our own families. We remember our first Christmas away from home. We remember the Christmas with our first child, or even, sadly, the first Christmas after a loved one has passed. On this first Sunday after Christmas, it's only right that we together, as a church family, should look backward. The theologian Soren Kierkegaard once said that the past which cannot become present is not worth remembering. So making the past into the present is really what Christmas is all about. We look backward for Christmas so that we, you and I, can find ourselves. We can anchor ourselves. The past is our story, the days and the years of our lives. It's a part of us. So if we really want to know ourselves, to be ourselves, to live in harmony with ourselves, we have to look backward for Christmas. We remember the days of our lives, both the blessings and the curses. We remember the God who provided the blessings and helped each one of us to survive the curses. We look backward at Christmas to know ourselves, to remember our history. Yet there's another reason to look back as well. The past is not only our story, yours and mine, it is also humanity's story, the record of the ages. We share our memories not only with family and friends, but with a much larger, more colorful congregation of people. It's in looking backward for Christmas that we can cry with old Charles Dickens over Tiny Tim and Scrooge. We can catch the dancing wonder of the Nutcracker with Peter Tchaikovsky. We can soar to Sleepers Awake with Johann Sebastian Bach. We can sing Unto Us a Child is Born with Handel. We can carol Venite Adoremus with the medieval monks and know again the wonder of St. Luke. For behold, I bring to you glad tidings of great joy. It is looking backward that you and I find that we belong not only to ourselves, but to something far, far greater. The hurting, hoping, ever dreaming people of God from ages past, the communion of saints. It was on December 26th, 27th, 28th in 1967. It didn't really matter, for the nights were a blend in the jungles of Vietnam, writes the now retired general. Orders, he writes, came down around Christmas to go to Wei Fu Bai combat base for the duty evacuation of a soldier shot in the field. Night medical evacs were extremely hazardous because the opposing forces waiting in the darkened jungle could see you clearly, but you could not see them. It was difficult to see anything behind the shadow perimeter of the blinding circle of light cast by the helicopter as it lowered itself into the dense forest foliage. Every fifth round lobbed was a tracer, more clearly targeting location for enemy fire. Wei Fu Bai, the base camp, was only at that time a small helicopter launching pad or strip. The four Marines who were on duty at that evacuation point were all alone. Additional strains were present in the bunker that evening, he writes. Anti-war demonstrations had begun in the United States, and race riots were savaging American cities and towns. The four at Wei Fu Bai seemed to come from different corners of the universe. Two officers, two enlisted men. More than a decade separated them in age. Two came from educational and economic privilege. Two had their souls ground daily on the anvils of American poverty and prejudice in Birmingham and in Watts. Christmas Eve, give or take a day or two or three or four, fell heavy that night on these Marines. Thousands of miles from home, they had in common only one needful thing. Softly, so softly, they began to sing carols into the darkness of the tiny bunker and the abyss of the Vietnamese night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Voices blending in ancient harmonies, these men began to perceive that they were part of something more important than the medical evacuation and more powerful than the war. One voice following another in this place so far from God, they began to pray for peace. For the first time in months, sleep fell tender and deep, and tears ran on their faces where rain had fallen. So wrote the retired general. Looking backward for Christmas, they found that they belonged. We find that we belong not only to ourselves, but to something much greater. The hurting, hoping, ever dreaming people of God. And even yet, there is one more reason to look backward for Christmas. When we look back, we see not only our own personal stories and humanity's story, but we see his story as well. History, we call it. A history which began with him before time was even counted and will end with him in the wisdom of his eternity. The Alpha and the Omega, as our New Testament lesson puts it. His story is a story which broke into our story by way of a manger, a mother and child with a world that couldn't care less, and a God who couldn't love and care more. It's a story of a bleak journey out of season, of an inn and a stable and shepherds and wise men, a story that begins when we hear the old familiar words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then it lives in all of our hearts, no matter how much we try to rationalize it or Santa Claus it or sell it in department stores. And it's a story that that lives in our hearts, no matter which side of Christmas we may be on. In fact, it's a story that we would not, even could not be without, for our whole existence depends on it. The birth of God with us at Christmas in humility and poverty is the prelude to our Easter faith of his suffering, death, and resurrection. We look backward for Christmas because only after looking back can we truly look forward again and move ahead into the future, into the new year, with confidence. "For behold, I am doing a new thing, says your God. I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Today, let us look back. Let us cradle in our hearts that babe from Bethlehem, for he is the one who not only takes away our burdens and our sin, but leads us into his eternal future, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you and me. Let us pray. Sovereign Creator God, Emmanuel, Alpha and Omega, grant to us the grace to be able to look backward over our lives with thankful hearts, to join with the people of faith through the ages who knelt at that manger, and to stand again, walking bravely toward the future, knowing that you, O God, are by our side. Amen.